87% of realtors get into the business and get out of the business in 2 years. That doesn't exist in our world.
We have massive visions around growing our businesses, and we are always looking to add talent to our world. We do everything in our power to ensure the people we surround ourselves with defy the odds, get into production, and build massive lives for themselves.
If you are a realtor looking to get into the business, we have a blueprint for success.
With locations all across Canada, reach out to us. Let's talk about partnership and opportunities. We are looking forward to it.
Mike, we got 41 people in the building.
That's amazing. 100 sign up.
Amazing.
41 people. Fantastic. That's good conversion right there.
That's perfect conversion. But even better, that's 41 people that want to change their lives today and are willing to take a Thursday evening time out of their day and could do anything else, but they're here with us tonight. So everyone, thank you so much for showing up.
I love that intro, Cody. Thank you. And I have a feeling all 41 of these, or 40, we just lost one, are here to see you to find out how you were able to sell 30 plus homes in your first year in the business. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll not steal the spotlight from you, though. This is all you. I mean, I owe a lot of my success to you. You gave me the outline to do exactly what I did and exactly what we're going to show everybody today. So, Mike, take it away.
I'm just a wash up, Cody. We were joking. You were chirping me the other day that I'm like the former high school football player that scored that game-winning touchdown 20 years ago, and now I'm just some fat guy sitting on my couch drinking Bud Lights, reminiscing. You're so much nicer to me when we're on camera.
I am. I am. We did joke about that, everybody. But Mike is not actually a wash-up. Still an all-star quarterback.
So let's get into it. If any of you guys would like to book a discovery call with me, my job, I'm team lead with McKay Realty Network. I promise I'm not trying to sell you anything, but I would like to help you sell more homes. If there's anything I can do to help you guys achieve that, just scan the code there, and I'm more than happy to hop on a call with any of you guys and support you in any way I can. Now, quick intro. I'll do myself first, then Cody can intro himself. For anyone that doesn't know me, my name is Mike Johnson. I'm born and raised in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I moved up here to do my master's in business. Didn't know a soul when I came up here. Got a job in corporate working for a large auto manufacturer. Didn't really enjoy what I was doing. So I stumbled upon this career called real estate, which today I love. I got into business in 2017. Moved to Hamilton, Ontario, didn't know anyone here. In my first 18 months, I was able to sell 52 homes. So that's from 6 months to 18, 52 transactions. And today I'm team lead with McKay Realty Network. I'm expecting we'll do about 200 transactions this year. And we currently have 15 agents on our team. Cody, take it away.
Absolute rock star. I should have went first because I can't follow that lead too well. But for those of you who don't know me, my name is Cody Smith. I joined real estate about 2 years ago now. I'll be 2 years actually this coming April. I came from a residential construction background business. So I built that business up, kind of did the day-to-day quoting, finances, marketing, stuff like that. Realized I didn't really have a huge passion necessarily for construction. I always wanted to get into real estate investing. Never really knew what that looked like. Ended up doing some research, met some great people through KW and just through networking. Stumbled upon Mike, and I met with Mike and the MRN team. And here I am today being able to share a lot of information with you guys and hopefully some very valuable information that you can take away and change your lives. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
I'll quickly touch on this. So full transparency, guys, I'm here for a couple of reasons. Number one, I want to add value to you. As I mentioned, I do want to help you sell more homes. Selfishly, my personal goal is to build the largest real estate team in my city. In order to do that, I need to get into business with great people. If any of you guys are looking for a team, we would love to be your team of choice. If you'd like to see what we're all about, scan this code. You're welcome to come join us at one of our team meetings on Monday, February 13th at 9 a.m. And there is our address.
that include coffee?
Yeah, see? It does.
See, it's honestly a win-win, no obligation. You get free coffee. So
You think we get that kind of energy going on Monday mornings without coffee? No.
That's true. It's a lot of willpower and spirit.
So this slide, this is something I came across probably 2 years into my career. There's a reason I'm sharing this with you. So I took a course and the instructor went over this with me, how to get the most out of the experience. And basically what they said is everyone attending that particular course is going to show up as one of three types of people. I'm big on future pacing. I do it with my clients. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I know the three scariest things in life are number one, public speaking, number two, death, number three, buying or selling a piece of real estate. When you wake up tomorrow morning, terrified about the contract you signed today and terrified about your plans to sell your home, promise me one thing, you don't cancel the contract with me. You give me a call. My job is to support you and help you not only to achieve your financial goals, but also emotionally. Please do not cancel the contract on me. I would greatly appreciate it. When you future pace someone, you're more likely to get the behavior you desire. So as I mentioned, I was shown this and I was pretty resistant to learning when I first got in the business. I was a prisoner. My team leader would force me to go to courses. I didn't really want to be there. I didn't know why it was going to benefit me. Literally the only reason I was there was because I was forced to be there. At about the 2 year mark, I realized that this business isn't just about hard work. It is a contact sport. The more people you speak to, the more likely you are to get the result you want. But really, there are two levers we can pull. One of those levers is contacts and speaking to people. The other lever is skill. So you commit to something like this course, listen to Cody, you don't have to listen to me, and take notes and apply it to your business. It's far more likely that you're going to get to where you're going a lot faster. When I attend a lot of courses now, I'm pretty bought into learning and growing. And when I go to something like this, I don't want to apply everything. If I can get one little nugget that can allow me to get to my goal faster or get to my goal by doing less work and spending less time, that's a huge win for me. So I hope that's what we can do for you guys today. These are some of the things we're going to be going over today. So mindset, lead generation, listings versus buyers, scripting, and role playing. One thing I think I did do right when I got into the business was really come up with a vision of who I wanted to be. I'm sure some of you guys know me today as someone that's pretty disciplined, hardworking, maybe well-scripted. I'm here to tell you I did not come out of my mother's womb like this. It took years of working on myself in order to get to this point. And there are a few guiding principles that I truly believe in and our team believes in. It's something that, we live by each and every day and something that we go over in that Monday meeting that I hope you guys come and attend. So number one is personal responsibility. I'm fully in control of my outcomes and I commit to owning them every single day. So my job this week was to book three appointments and sign one listing, and I didn't do it. That's my fault. No one else's. Commitment beats talent every single time. I always do what I say I'm going to do. A committed person does whatever it takes. A person who is interested does what is convenient. Discipline is the ultimate freedom. There are two types of pain in life. Discipline and regret. Discipline weighs ounces, regret weighs tons. Don't live in a world of regret. Give, the more I give, the more I receive. I can get anything in my life by helping others get what they want. And then finally, this one's kind of intense. We scream it on Monday morning. So if you do come and join us, be prepared to scream this. It's grow or die. The only difference between me and the person I want to become are the podcasts I listen to, the books I read, and the people I hang out with. And I'm sure I'm fortunate to hang out with a lot of you guys on a daily basis. And Cody Smith, one of my favorite people, I'm happy you're in my five. That's where you say, I'm happy, Mike, you're in the five.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was still on mute. I wasn't sure if you could hear me. I'm happy that you're in my five too. It really, truly, it changes your mindset of who you surround yourself with, right? Like before I even came into real estate, I had such low ambitions. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm very investor focused. My whole goal throughout my whole life was to have one rental property. I came into an environment where I was meeting people that had 100, 400, 1,000. It completely opened up my mind. And then selling houses, I was lucky enough to be able to join someone like Mike. And Mike guided me through how he did it. And I just exactly copied that. And that's what we're going to go through today. The one thing I want to get into it, hopefully I'm not overstepping Mike, but before we get into it, going through these topics, I want you guys to like just really play full out and come and ask questions. We're happy to answer them. That's why we're here. Take notes, ask questions. There's no such thing as a bad question or a stupid question. We want to bring as much value to you as possible. That's why we're doing this today. And we want you to be able to change your lives through what we've done and what Mike has done. So play full out, ask any questions as we go through. And we're happy to answer them for you.
That's great advice. So my goal today is to give you guys the good, the bad, the ugly, the truth about this business and my experience in it. I hope Cody does the same for you. I want to bring transparency in an industry that is filled with wrapping paper. I heard that a while ago. We watched those shows, I did at least. Selling Sunset, $1 million listing. You go speak to a team lead when you get in the business and they tell you it's going to be amazing. You're going to make 200 grand your first year. If you do really well, you're going to make 400. It's easy. You make money quick. That is not the truth. And I'm not going to tell you that today.
So the phone doesn't actually just ring, Mike?
What's that?
I said the phone doesn't just actually just ring.
That's honestly what I thought. I remember when I got in the business, I'm not the smartest person in the world. So I didn't ask a lot of questions. I just showed up. Didn't ask what splits were. I had no idea. I didn't ask how do you actually source a lead? I had no idea. And I believe in my head, I thought the phone would ring. And I remember I showed up and it didn't ring. And I became very good friends with someone that was on my team at that point in time. And his phone would ring. And I would sit there and nothing would happen. And I remember thinking, it'd be so nice to be like you someday. If just one person would call me, it would make my day. And that didn't happen immediately. It didn't happen in a week, 2 weeks, 2 months, but eventually it did happen. And just by sticking to the process and chipping away at it day after day after day, eventually the phone will ring. So here's the truth, at least my experience of the truth. For anyone that's starting, this is what I anticipate you'll experience. For anyone that's already in the business and already in production, you know this already. It's going to be a lot harder than you expect. It will take a lot longer than you expect to get into production. You're going to be grossly underpaid. Odds are stacked against you. 80% of the people that get in our business are out of the business within a couple of years. So I have no idea why all 43 of us are stupid enough to get in this business. But here we are. And I love it. And I'm sure you guys love it too. So we need to do things to make sure it works and make sure we're not part of that stat on the bottom. And I think for me, Cody, I don't know about you, but it all starts with mindset.
Oh, 100%. It really conditions you to go through. Like Mike said, this is not an easy industry to be into. It's very rewarding and it can be. But it is a lot of mental hurdles to get through, especially when you're just starting out and you think the phone's going to ring. It's not. I didn't do my first deal until 6-7 months into the business.
Same with me, it was 6 months.
Having that mindset and having faith that it's going to come eventually, but you just got to keep working towards it. A lot of us, I mean, you go into any industry and you show up and you get paid and you go home. Here, it's you got to keep working and working, and you might not get paid for those phone calls that you made that day or that month or the second month. But you have to have faith that you're building that pipeline and building that business so that at the end of the day, it's thriving, and you get people like Mike where your phone starts ringing eventually. So it's listening to podcasts, being around people, you know, that have done it before. You can sit there and say, you know, this is the normal process. You just got to keep pushing through and bashing your head against the wall to break through. It's very important to have a very good mindset coming in and keeping that mindset, reading podcasts, people you hang around, anything like that. So that's why I think 80% of the people get out of it, because they don't focus as much on mindset as you probably should.
And every night before I go to bed, I'm obsessed with this business. I absolutely love it. What I ask myself is, what do you need to do, Mike, to move yourself to a place where you wake up every single day excited to sell more homes than your competition? Because in this environment, in this industry, especially now that we've gone through a shifting market, if you're not excited to sell more homes than the person next to you or more homes than your competition, you're going to get run over. And it's going to be a very short career for you. That's what I tell myself before bed, when I wake up in the morning. And that's what springs me into action. As human beings, we're motivated by one of two things, pain or pleasure. What will happen to me if I don't do what I said I was going to do today? Will I get to my goals? If I don't do what I said I was going to do today, how's that going to impact me? How's that going to impact my kids? How's that going to impact Cody? How's that going to impact all the other people in my world? For me, that starts with one thing, and it starts with the morning. So I'm not a morning person. I don't know if anyone is. When I wake up in the morning, I think I'm just as human as anyone on this call. I feel like a bag of garbage. But with that being said, I program myself to wake up early because I know it's to my benefit, and I program myself to have a routine. So when I show up to the office, I'm prepared. I'll give you guys an example. I personally think accountability is the highest form of love. One of my roles is to hold people accountable to reaching their goals. So voluntarily, one of the people on our team said, can you hold me accountable to waking up on time and showing up to the office on time? And in the event that they don't do it, every time they're late, they pay me $100, which goes to charity. So this individual this morning texted me and said, I'm going to be late. I'm not going to be in the office by 9 a.m. because the snowplow went by and my car is stuck in the driveway. So I sent him a text back and I said, no worries. I totally understand that, smiley face with the heart. And I let it stew for 2 minutes and I know what he was thinking. This is crazy. Why is Mike being so nice to me this morning? This makes no sense. After he stewed for a couple minutes, I texted him back and I said, it must be very challenging to wake up in the morning, go outside and know that you're locked in because of the snow. My experience this morning was that I figured that out 4 hours ago and I just showed him a picture of my alarm. And at that point in the day, I'd gone to the gym, I reviewed my goals, I meditated, I did what I know I need to do to be successful. And I do that without fail. In the event that I don't do that, I know with 100% certainty, my day is not going to go as planned. And that's my fault. No one else's. So, Cody, we can go back and forth on what we do to prepare ourselves. What I do is pretty simple. I use, I didn't make this up. It's from a guy, his name is Hal Elrod. He wrote a book called The Miracle Morning. Super easy to remember. He calls it SAVERS. It stands for silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing, which is a fancy word for journaling. So I do that every single day, 5 days a week.
So you taking weekends off?
Yeah, I haven't worked weekends for a very long time.
I do the same thing. I mean, there, if I'm being honest with you guys, there's a point in my life where I looked at Mike and I was like, oh, the 5 a.m. does not matter. I can still crush out deals and be completely fine. I'll listen to a podcast on my way to work, you know, read at nighttime. It'll be fine. Changing your mind, not even your mindset, but changing your routine in the morning. I get up now, 5 a.m., I go to the gym. Changing your physiology changes so much in your brain. If you work out in the morning, studies have shown that it actually increases endorphins and serotonin levels into your brain that last throughout the day and even carries into the next morning. Being in this business, you need every advantage possible to bulletproof your mindset. That is one of the easiest ways to bulletproof your mindset is waking up in the morning and exercising to some degree or some level. Also, the other change that it does for you is you're now pushing yourself to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning when your brain is telling you, no, Cody, I do not want to get out of bed. It's warm. It's cozy. It's snowing outside. I got to, you know, plow the driveway and get my truck out. I don't want to do that. If I can push myself through that, there is nothing throughout that day that I can't get through with the mindset that I just woke up with at 5 o'clock.
I've coached and trained enough realtors now to know a lot of you on this call, I imagine, will take so much out of what we say from this point on. And you'll say, this morning thing is not for me. But making that simple change in my life changed my whole life. I would not be here today. I would have nothing today if it wasn't for that simple routine. And I remember it like it was yesterday. This is a good little lesson for anyone that thinks they can't do this or they don't have time for this. When I got in the business, I started working in Hamilton. I lived in Toronto. So 6 days a week, I was driving from Toronto to Hamilton, Toronto to Hamilton. And I still squeezed this in. And my mindset at that time, I would go out. I had a dog. Unfortunately, she's not with me anymore. But I would take this dog for a run. And I lived in a condo and I would look up at all the windows and they were black, 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 black. You're not beating me today. You're not beating me today. You're still sleeping. You're still sleeping. And what I loved the most was when it was snowing out, I would still go. The feeling I would get to run through the snow and know that it's only my footprints there. How can anyone beat me today? Impossible. And that was the mindset before I ever sold a house. If I can go out and run in a blizzard and put my steps in the snow first, before the thousands of people in that condo even wake up, I can sell some houses. And I can sell a lot of them.
It's also self-esteem too, right? Like if you can push yourself out of your comfort zone and now Mike is running down the street, he's got, you know, nobody's around him. All the lights are off. You must have felt like $1 trillion at that. Like your self-esteem must have been through the roof because you're outworking everybody else in your neighborhood.
It was
and
great.
99.9% of the realtors.
I felt like David Goggins, but I ran a fraction of the distance. I would probably do 20 minutes just to warm my body up. Some of the guys on the team will tell me, I lift weights in the morning. I'll go to the gym pretty much every morning. And it's quick, 45 minutes in and out. And some of the guys on the team will say, I just couldn't fit that in. I need to work out for half an hour. And in my head, I think, what are we doing here? I'm not trying to be Ronnie Coleman or Arnold Schwarzenegger or The Rock. I'm not looking to bulk up. I'm just looking to get my body in motion and build the discipline so I can come to work every day and crush it and give the best experience possible to the agents on my team. That's it. I don't need to spend an hour and a half in the gym to do that.
As Mike and I are a huge fan of Tony Robbins, and those of you who know who Tony Robbins is or don't, look him up. He is a very big believer in the best way to change, the quickest way to change your mindset is through physiology. It's through movement, moving your body, getting your blood circulating. So it's a great way to start the day.
Next thing I focus on it. They tie into each other. Just take care of yourself first and your business second. When I say that, I mean, take care of your body, take care of your sleep, take care of your relationships. There's going to be a time where we're not in this business anymore. If you don't have your health or you don't have your family, all of this is pretty useless. Next, grow or die, one of my favorites. There have been many times in this business, or many times that I've been in this business where I've been burnt out. I haven't enjoyed what I was doing in certain moments. I didn't want to show up to work. I don't feel that anymore. And I haven't felt that for a very long time. The way I've gotten past that is simply by plugging into other people that are where I want to be in my future. Like I said, I'm not a morning person. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is listen to a podcast. There are five of them I listen to. I'm more than happy to share them with you. Listen to one on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Thursday, one on Friday. I think I missed Wednesday, but I do listen to one on Wednesday too if I missed it. And what that does, it programs my mind. I know when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to be grumpy. I'm going to have negative thoughts, just like all of you. We have a choice to shut that off. My way of shutting that off is to plug in to someone that shares optimism with me, motivates me, inspires me. Someone that, like I said, is where I want to go. It's another big one for me. Cody, I think we talked about this. There were times last year where I was reading the news. Stock market was getting crushed. Inflation was running wild. Interest rates were going up. And I would read the news constantly. And then I would go home and I would watch YouTube videos. Graham Stephan, the world is crashing. Never buy a piece of real estate again. We're all going to die. I've since stopped that. I used to read the little Facebook threads. No one is selling their houses. Volumes are down 40%, blah, 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 blah. I took a step back and thought about that. And yeah, I don't read those anymore. I unfortunately caught myself pretty quickly. The people writing those things, they're not on appointments. They're not busy. They're not productive, obviously, because they're behind their computer writing these threads. I want to be the average of people I hang out with. I don't want to hang out with those people. So I choose to avoid that. Next one, take action. You can learn more from speaking to 1,000 prospects than you can ever learn from reading a sales book. And I love sales books. There's an example I'll give you here. I don't know if I've ever shared it with you, Cody, but it's a study I read. I don't know where. Maybe when I was in university. There were two groups of people, and they were tasked with making pots, pottery. Weird, right? I don't know why anyone would task people with making pottery. Anyways, group one was told, you have a week to make a perfect pot. Group two was told, you have a week to make as many pots as possible. And that's all they knew. So group one went to work, they made the perfect pot. Group two went to work, churning out as many pots as possible. So what they did at the end of the study was compare the pots of group one to the final pot of group two. And it was amazing how nice the pot looked to group two. Group one's pot was garbage. There's value in putting in reps, and that's something I kind of got lucky with. I probably went on 30, 40, 50 appointments before I ever signed a listing and sold a house. My mentor, when I got in the business, he was a buyer agent. He had no listing presentation. He had no scripts around listings. There was not a ton of support there like we have today. I had to figure that out on my own. But it was so painful for me, I had no choice. Was either figure it out or get out of the business. And it was the best lesson I could have ever learned. Next, build belief that you are the best. I know Cody thinks he's the best. And I agree with him. And the reason I think he's one of the best at what he does is because he always shows up and does exactly what he says. He trusts himself. I trust myself. I know tomorrow at 4:15 when the alarm goes off, I will wake up. I know when that happens, I will go to the gym. I know when I get back, I will review my goals. I know I'll be at the office by 9. I know I'll follow my calendar when I get there.
So, Mike, I just want to add something to that, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I think when we say build a belief that you are the best, it becomes very egotistical, or could come from like a very ego perspective. At least for me, in my perspective of being the best, I tell myself, and I write it in my journal every day, I am the best realtor, or I am the best person for this, wherever my goals are. I don't necessarily feel or think I'm the best person in the whole world who does everything great and everything is the best that I do, and no one else can top that. I tell myself I'm the best because I am learning and growing every single day. I am better than I was yesterday, so therefore I am the best today because I'm still progressing and moving through. So
I think that's huge. Like, there was a time, I'm sure you went through the same thing. I would wake up every morning to go out in this city, kill something so I would get a paycheck. I don't do that anymore. It's grow first. And I believe the more I grow, the more I will attract into my life. And that brings the ultimate happiness. That's why I think I could say today, I absolutely love what I do. I couldn't say that 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it was make money, make money, make money, make money, make money. Not enough, not enough, not enough, make more. Eventually, once you have the money in the palm of your hand, it's not fulfilling anymore. Then what? Next thing, surround yourself with a high vibe tribe. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. You hang out with depressed people, you're going to be depressed. If all your friends are overweight, eating cheeseburgers, you're going to be overweight, probably eating cheeseburgers. If you hang out with millionaires, you'll be a millionaire. If you hang out with happy people, you'll be happy. That's been my experience, at least. And then know why you wake up every morning. What's your why, Cody? Don't you love getting asked that?
What's that?
Don't you love getting asked that question?
That is such a very long-winded question. Or a long-winded answer, I guess I could say. In a nutshell, I wake up in the morning just to be the best person I absolutely can be. That doesn't necessarily mean from a career standpoint, but I find when I take care of myself, I take care of my clients, I take care of my friends, I take care of my family. My conversations, my whole attitude, and even to strangers becomes completely different. So I don't necessarily wake up and say, well, I'm waking up at 5 a.m. because I know it's going to set me on the right path to do X number of deals this year. Kind of like what Mike said, it's very unfulfilling in that sense. Once you get to that point, it has to become more from a contribution standpoint to be fulfilled. The real reason of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and going into the freezing cold to work out, you need a very big why. So yeah, for me, it's just, if I take care of myself in the morning, I can take care of the rest of the other people that were very, very important for me in my life. So that's my big why. What's yours, Mike?
I love that. My why, I would say that there's that John Maxwell concept, the law of the lid. So I lead this team today. If my level of leadership, my level of discipline, my habits are at, say, a 4, no one within the organization can go above that. What happens when I cap it? They leave. And my organization can never go to a 10. So when I wake up every morning, my goal is to grow more than the people within my organization, which will in turn give them more opportunity and keep them in my world. And then my family, I'd be pretty upset if any of them left. And I'd also be pretty upset if they didn't live the biggest life possible within our organization. I think that's where a lot of teams go wrong. You have leader up at the top, You'll notice our team is called the McKay Realty Network. My name is not McKay. There was a man that created opportunity for me. And now my duty as leader within this company is to create that same opportunity for the people here. That's why I wake up.
I love that. Man, that's a really good why.
Yeah, I owe that man my life.
It comes from a place of contribution too, right? You probably feel so fulfilled that knowing what you're doing, even though it's probably not fun sometimes, it's probably hard and difficult and painful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not focusing on you anymore. It's focusing on everybody else.
Yeah.
Something bigger than you.
I just think, like you hear this in the KW world all the time, find your replacement, find your replacement. Far and few between to find a team leader that actually does that. Yeah. I believe the more valuable you are to your organization as a leader, the less valuable your organization. The less valuable you are to your organization, the more valuable your organization. So if I'm here today, still churning out 50 ends on the road all day, every day, yeah, we'd be very profitable. But can I pour into my people? And is that truly a business? That's the equivalent of Steve Jobs running Apple. And then for half the day, he's in the Apple store selling computers. That's ridiculous. So if he's not going to do that, why would I do that? No, I'm going to spend that time and pour it into my people and help them be where I am today. So now I guess, Cody, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts. I have a quote that I love that you stole from me. On the Sales Views podcast, where success is the only option. I told you I wasn't going to sell you anything today. Podcast is free, so I'm technically not. You should all be listening to it. We've interviewed some of the top realtors in the world, from Jeff Glover, Chris Suarez, $2 billion in volume last year. Kristen Cole, the queen of expansion, Chris Knighton, Dylan Suter. I think some of you guys are here with Dylan Suter, Sandy McKay, and the list goes on and on and on. So you're not listening to it, you're missing out. But on one of the episodes, Cody stole one of my quotes that I've been using for the past 5 years. We are not in the business of selling homes. We are in the business of.
You finish it, Mike. That is your quote. I'm stepping aside.
I love it. Thank you. We are in the business of lead generating and finding clients. And building our skills, we know what to say to those clients when it's appropriate to say it to them. Period. I don't love houses. I think, Cody, you probably love houses more than me. I love sourcing clients. I love, more than anything, meeting a total stranger and getting pen to paper within an hour. The fastest I've ever done is 10 minutes. Best appointment of my life. And from there, I like taking them to their goals, wherever they may want to go. I don't really care about the houses at all.
Yeah, that's the one thing I like the shift in was it wasn't necessarily about selling the house or making the money. It was, where do those clients have to be? Why are they selling? And how can I get them from point A to point B in the best position possible, as easy as possible? And hopefully for the most amount of money, if that's what they want to do, right? It's how do you, can they help that family? Not about the house.
Not about the house.
No.
House is just a bunch of bricks. Whatever. So one thing, this might be worth writing down, guys. It's something I heard a while ago. So lead generation, it's a contact sport. For anyone getting into it, it was described to me as a hockey stick. So when you start prospecting, you'll build a pipeline. Your skills are probably horrendous if you're anything like I was. And a hockey stick, you see it move this direction and then up. So what I noticed happened with me, I built that pipeline. And when the pipeline was built, because I was also building my skills in the process, at one point, I reached exponential growth. You heard Cody say he didn't sell any homes for his first 6 months. I was in the same boat. I started in the business in August of 2017. It wasn't until January that I sold a house. If I had quit, or if I had let my foot off the gas and not, and hadn't continued to prospect at that level, the 52 ends would not have happened. There's a story I love. It's called 2 Feet from Gold. I think I read it in Gary Keller's book, The One Thing. And it talks about these guys, they were digging for gold, digging. And then they got tired. They didn't want to do it anymore, so they quit. A few months later, this other group of people, I don't know if they were hikers, what they were, I forget exactly, but they were walking in the same area. One of them tripped over a rock. The next person behind him took a look down at the ground, and there was the gold. So for me, my gold came from 6 months to 18 months. Now, it's ever since, it's just been raining gold. Life is great. But had I quit at 6 months, it would have been a very different story. And I think that's what a lot of people do. And Cody, your situation or story, I would say, is very similar.
Yeah, it's the exact same. I remember I called Mike when I first started. I'm like, Mike, I don't think this works, man. I think you're lying. I would have so many conversations with Mike, and it would be like, you know, when does it hit? When does it hit? You just kept being like, have faith. Just keep doing what you're doing. It's going to work. And it was like, I started in April. It's like September, October, November. And I'm like, Mike, this has hurt my ego. Like, my mind is all over the place. I'm just running all over. I was going on so many listing appointments. I was literally sitting there for three and a half hours, not even talking about real estate. Like, that's how bad it was. And I'd leave, and I'm like, I just wasted all this time and didn't even get paid. That January, I ended up closing 5 deals and made more money in that month than I did at my previous job within the whole year. It's that hockey stick effect, right? But where people would probably have stopped 3-4 months into it, not having a single result, is where everybody stops. And that's why you just got to keep pushing through, like the goal theory.
So kind of went off track there. I mentioned you should write something down. It's something that really helped me when I was getting started. And I didn't invent this. It came from my coach, Marianne Gillespie. If any of you guys are looking for a coach, she's fantastic. She built me. I owe her and Sandy McKay absolutely everything.
And me as well.
I owe you everything too, Cody.
Oh, no. Sorry. I meant.
I'm kidding.
I owe Marianne a lot. She built
me. She's amazing.
She is incredible.
So what she did with me, she went over a why exercise. Why are you doing what you're doing? And we discovered together what that was. To achieve that why, Mike, how much money do you need to make in your first year? And I told her my number was $180,000. I did not do that. I made 170. Good enough. And she said, Mike, I guarantee you will make $180,000 if you speak to 600 people every single week for 48 weeks of the year. You can spend 2 weeks off with your family for Christmas and you can have a 2 week holiday. So 600 contacts weekly times 48 weeks is 28,800 contacts over the year. Promise you guys, if you speak to that many people, your skills will grow rapidly. Promise you guys, if you speak to that many people, there are many of them in that 28,800 that will buy or sell a house. 170,000 divided by 28,800. So the money I wanted to earn divided by the contacts I committed to making, $6 per call. Could be a yes, I want you to sell my house. Could be no, not interested right now, call me back in 6 months. We're in Hamilton. I was called many names that year, but $6 a call, regardless of how the call went. So it's the money you want to earn divided by the number of people you're willing to speak to. And the way I looked at it, when I started in this business, I had about 12 grand saved. We all have a runway. And I think we all think about this when we started the business. How many months do I have before I run out of money and I'm truly screwed and have to file for bankruptcy? I know I thought about that. And the better question, how much work do I need to put in every single day to ensure that that never happens? That's why when I started, there were people around me making 20 calls a day. I think that's what they told you to do in polls. I would do 120. I would go to Bold and listen to them tell me make 20 contacts a day. And then after Bold, go back to the office and do 100. That's how bad I wanted it. That's commitment. Commitment, do whatever it takes. Interested, you'll do what's convenient. That's why your average realtor is so poor. How much work do you need to put in to bulletproof your plan and guarantee 100% you're going to be successful?
Mike, let me ask you a question. How painful was it to make those calls day after day after day?
So in the beginning, it was very painful because there were no skills. So I would call someone, they would want to sell their house. I'd go meet them. I'd show up. They'd realize this guy has no idea what he's doing. I wasn't from Hamilton. I didn't even know the street names. Google Maps, 100% to get to someone's house. I knew nothing about the city. But I learned very quickly because I failed so many times. It was painful. But by using that little trick, it became a game. And that's how I look at it today. X number of inputs leads to a certain output. You need to track your numbers to know that. I know on our team, every 1,000 contacts on average, that includes brand new agents, that includes people that have been with us for 5 years, that includes people that last year did $450,000 of gross commission, people that did significantly less than that. On average, our team is 1,000 contacts to a transaction. So if I want this team to do 500 transactions at some point in the future, how many contacts does our average realtor do? I know I'm 1,000 contacts to a deal. How many realtors do I need to add to our team to do the contacts to hit our transaction? It's all just math. A lot of people, when they join our team or people that aren't part of our team, when they get in the business, they ask, how did you achieve that? And I chalk it up to a couple of things. I got in the business with two people that had achieved it. You are the average of the people you spend your time with. But really, if I was to attribute it to one thing, it was me working on Saturdays. So I would work every single Saturday I worked 48 weeks that year. Because people are home, more people pick up the phone. The other day, I messaged our guys during that snowstorm. I'm sure a lot of realtors didn't go to work. They used the snowstorm as an excuse. In my mind, it's like, this is great. Let's get to the office now. Everyone is home. Time to get some business. So I recognized that early on, and I knew people were home on Saturdays. I don't know about you guys, but I find a lot of people are happier on Saturdays than when they're at work. Let's be honest, your average person doesn't like their work. So this is exactly what I did. I was able to connect with about 50 people per hour. I would lead generate for 4 hours every single Saturday. That's 200 people I would speak to times 48 weeks. It's about 10,000 contacts divided by 1,000 contacts to a transaction. An additional 10 deals in today's dollars, you're looking at about, in our market, about $18,250 per transaction. That's the gross commission times 10 additional deals, $182,500. If you get nothing out of this call today, do that.
This works Saturdays.
It's huge.
We can just end it right here. Guys, if you have any questions, thanks for joining. Just work Saturdays.
Huge. And I'm sure so many of you guys are working Saturdays right now, but you're doing paperwork and you're out showing clients homes on Saturdays and you're the busy work. Like I believe if you're going to work a Saturday prospect, what's the most efficient piece of business you can get in this industry? It's a listing. Where do buyers come from? They come from listings. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But prospect on a Saturday, I guarantee you it will change your business.
Or even Sundays.
You need to take one day off.
Yeah, don't listen to me. Listen to Mike.
That's why you have bags under your eyes.
I have some bad habits.
Anything you want to add there? You want to share what your schedule looked like? Maybe the good and bad of it?
Yeah. I mean, as Mike just said, I mean, especially last year, I'm still guilty of it now. I have a really hard time taking a day off. That is just me. I do not recommend that by any means. Definitely take one day off. You need to reset yourself. At the very beginning, I was cold calling or lead generating for 6, 7, 8 hours a day, 6, 7 days a week. So a lot of that was cold calling, door knocking, open houses. The majority of it was cold calling. Cold calling still works, but my whole schedule was built around getting 600, 700, 800 contacts. I remember Mondays, I would come into the office and Mike still makes fun of me. I'd come into the office, lock myself in the room in the basement, and I would eat in the office. I would eat in that room. I would only come out if I had to use the bathroom. And I'd start calling at 9 o'clock and I would end it. I think Mojo shuts off at 8 or 9. I think it was 9. And I would just cold call for as long as I could on Mondays. And then Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, 7 days a week. And I knew that if I put in the time now, I wouldn't have to down the road. So my schedule was very, very based on just strict lead generation, scripting. And that's it. And going on appointments.
But in the beginning, maybe you guys are different. So they say there are 5 jobs of realtor. Everything outside of those 5 jobs is useless. Lead generate, lead follow up, script and role play, go on appointments, negotiate contracts. In the beginning, it was lead generating. I wasn't following up because I had no one to follow up with. I literally knew one person in the city. I was scripting. I wasn't going on appointments because I knew no one in the city. And I definitely wasn't negotiating contracts. So literally all I would do, because I had to commute from Toronto, I would have to leave my house pretty early. I would get to the office at 8:30. We had a meeting at 9. I would lead generate for half an hour. I'm pretty sure that's not by the book. I think there's some DNC rule about that. You have to start calling at 9. So check that before you start making 8:30 calls. Then I would lead generate until noon, script for half an hour, and lead generate until 6:30, 7 o'clock, because if I left Hamilton to go back to Toronto any earlier than that, I would get stuck in traffic. The other thing I did in the beginning, and I see you doing it a lot, Cody, I see that you did do that a lot, and I had quite a bit of success with it. I would do one open house bi-weekly. So one lead generation session would start in Hamilton. I would prospect until my open house. And then the next week, I wouldn't do an open house. I would literally be sitting on my couch, sprawled out at home, watching Netflix on the telephone, calling people. It's crazy what I got out of it. Like I sold like $1 million farm off of that. Sold another $800,000 farm. I got a ton of listings in and around Hamilton. I still know nothing about farms. But Saturdays gave me the opportunity to meet farmers and sell these farms. It was crazy.
Yeah, I still remember, I mean, I did not do open houses a lot last year. I didn't truly enjoy them, if I'm being completely honest, but I remember I got at least four deals out of them last year. And that's just, people were walking through and put their hand up and said, hey, I want to buy, or I was prospecting and got a listing off prospecting saying, hey, I'm simply just doing an open house. You want to stop by? And being face to face with them put me in that position to get to the table and following up with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could build a whole business just on that.
Like 100%.
Just taking over people's open houses that don't want to do them. Circle prospecting, do the open house, follow up with them. I mean, I think you do 30, 40, 50 deals just off that business model alone. You don't even have to really pick up a phone and cold call that often. Like, yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I think, I'm, to be honest with you guys, I'm not comfortable. I know there are 40 of you guys looking at me, 80 sets of eyeballs makes me a little uncomfortable. But I've done this enough times to now be relatively comfortable with it. When I did an open house the first time, I wasn't that comfortable meeting a stranger, having a conversation with them. But I was so hungry because I had so little money that I needed to make it work. And the one thing I did when I did open houses, I would book the appointment with the person in the house. So I wasn't, I'll call you back tomorrow and we'll book an appointment and I'll go show you homes. That appointment's getting booked. As I mentioned to you, I like the future pace. I know you're going to book this appointment with me now. There's something in our business called a counterfeit yes. You're telling me, yes, Mike, I'm going to meet with you tomorrow and we're going to go see this house simply because you don't want to hurt my feelings. And in reality, your plan is just to cancel on me. If that's your plan, can you just let me know right now? You're not going to hurt my feelings. That honesty allowed me to book a lot of appointments. So I book it on the spot, go show them homes, sell them a house. The lead gen pillars our team uses, there are three of them really. One is open houses. Next is cold calling. The other one is door knocking. I believe the best form of lead generation is the one that you're going to stick with and actually enjoy. In terms of leads, there are three types that we work. One is sphere. I did not work sphere in the beginning. And that's not just because I didn't have a sphere. I eventually grew up a database of past clients, but I was very much turn and burn. I was always hunting for that next deal. If there's one thing I could go back and change, it would have been that. I have since changed. My business today is primarily repeat referral. So don't do what I used to do. If you want to do what I do now, if you think there's value in it, by all means, go ahead and do that. So Sphere is the easiest and cheapest business you can do. It's also pretty fun. It's fun to go shopping with your friends and family and help them find a house and fulfill their dreams through real estate. So this is exactly what we do. So we'll do four, we used to do calling sessions, so Sphere call nights as a team to our database. And I realized one day, these people don't want to hear from me. They love me, but I'm a salesperson at the end of the day. I wouldn't want to hear from me. So what I started doing, and it's been so effective, I have a script. I'll write it out on my phone, go through my whole list of contacts and send it to them. Takes me about 2 hours. So the script, we had a Sphere call night a couple of weeks ago. The script was, hi, Cody. Happy New Year. Me and my team have a goal to sell 220 homes in 2023. Who do you know that I could help? And if you don't know anyone today and come across someone, would you go open to putting me in touch with them? I would really appreciate it. Smiley face. Send, 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 send. And then what happens? Text back. No, I don't know anyone today. That's fine. I'm going to hit them with a similar text message next quarter. Another text back. No, I don't have anyone. Merry Christmas, Mike, or Happy New Year, Mike. I hope you had a great one. We'll keep you in mind if we come across anyone. Next text, Mike, this is amazing. You know what I just did for you? I took what you texted me and put it on my Facebook and shared it. If I come across anyone, I'm going to send them your way because you're awesome. Then the next one, not interested, not interested, not interested. No one right now. I'll call you if something comes up. Then the next one, Mike, actually, my father-in-law just moved to a home. I was going to reach out to you tomorrow. We need you to list his house. And in 2 hours, I probably got three of those. I signed two listings off that two-hour session just myself. That's what I neglected in the past.
That's a lot easier, right?
It's amazing. Bam, 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 bam. It's like just through the whole phone list. There's something with calling. It's called call bias. I'm not going to call that person. They're not interested. So I avoid text bias. And I just send that to every single person in my phone.
People prefer text almost nowadays. I think you told me that. I'd much rather get a text message than a random phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just shoot back a text whenever readily available and say, yeah, you know, not right now, Mike, or yeah, actually I got something. But
yeah.
Imagine how long it takes. So, I mean, I was trying to keep count. I think you said like, you know, roughly 8 or 9 times that you sent out a text to this guy or to this person. I mean, that probably took you 10 seconds to probably copy and paste that in there.
Copy, paste, put their name in it so it's personalized, press send.
Yeah, so 10 seconds maybe. You do that 8 or 9 times, you're like a minute and a half in to like a full conversation with this person 8 or 9 times, and you get a listing off of it.
Yeah, the beauty of it for me now, guy, I don't know if anyone on this call is running teams, but I noticed we would do these sphere call nights and everyone's missing. Everyone all of a sudden has an appointment. You have the guy that hasn't had an appointment in 2 months, now has an appointment booked. Incredible. You notice people are hiding in the bathroom.
Oh, but you gotta go.
I guess so.
Right.
I notice people doing paperwork. Anything they can do to avoid making those calls. I think given the response rate with this text method has been so strong, and the agents on our team, a lot of them, they're not comfortable making those calls. I still need them to make contact with their database. I think this is a great way to do it. Next thing we do is one team event that we facilitate. Normally we do that at a Blue Jays game. So we'll buy a bunch of tickets, invite our clients to the Blue Jays game. We encourage all of our agents to do a client event. I don't know what Cody's friends and family and sphere are interested in. I have no idea. He's interested in Pokemon, so maybe that's what they're interested in.
Sure.
So yeah. For someone like Cody, he organizes a Pokemon party. They do whatever Pokemon people do. I'm not sure.
We just kind of get into a park and start throwing Pokeballs and
exactly.
Running our dogs through. Yeah, it's great. It's great. If anyone wants to join, you're all welcome.
Yeah. Our team will facilitate Cody's Pokemon party, and Cody and the team will pay half the cost. Next, we do about 4 community events. This year, I think we have something at Around the Bay planned. We'll do some kind of volunteer activity in the community. And then I believe we're doing something at Ribfest and maybe a home show. Volunteering, we just volunteer. The other events, they're prize-based events. So last year we did Ribfest. We bought this Traeger smoker. It was about $1,000. Our team would rotate through different shifts at Ribfest. And the idea was to get people to come. They would sign up for this or for a chance to win this smoker. In order to sign up, they have to provide us with their phone number, email address. I think we asked some questions about whether or not they own a home or plan on buying or selling a home in the future. They go in our database into a drip program and we start calling them and emailing them. Next thing we do is we send 12 emails a year and then 2 Popeye gifts, 1 at Christmas, 1 random. So I think last year we did had two options. The agents could choose whatever they wanted for their clients. One was like a little Moscow Mule kit. One was a little snack box dressed up with a ribbon. It looked really nice. And then we'd all write personalized notes to our clients, spend a couple of days dropping those off. So outbound prospecting. In this business, you have two groups of people, people you know, people you don't know. When I got in the business, I hated people I knew. I didn't want to talk to them. I loved people I didn't know. There was a reason I loved people I didn't know. And it's because that group was so large. There's so many more people in this city that I don't know than I do know. And I think a huge portion of our time should be spent engaging with people we don't know and moving them from I don't know to met. That's how you really build a business. Where I went wrong is once they went from stranger to met or stranger to past client, I stopped talking to them because I was so focused on finding that next piece of business that was going to transact tomorrow. And then finally, the other pillar we focus on are internet leads. So basically what we do, we pay $10 per lead. On average, you're looking at about 6 months for a lead to go under contract. And in terms of conversion, you're looking anywhere from 1% to 2%, depending on how strong your follow-up is. The program we use, I didn't create it, but I think it's very effective. It's called the 3x3x3. Three calls, or lead comes in, three calls, three texts, three emails, all within 3 days. We know it takes about 7 attempts for a lead to actually pick up the phone and engage with us. Where a lot of people fall short, they'll call 3 times and say, this lead is junk and throw it in the garbage. Now, when we connect with the lead, the model we follow is called the ALM model. Once again, I didn't create it. R&D, everything you're seeing today, I didn't create. ALM stands for appointment. So if Cody clicks on an ad we're running, 123 Main Street, and calls me, Cody has zero interest in talking to me. He doesn't know anything about me, nor does he really want to. He wants an appointment. Hi, Cody. Thank you for reaching out about 123 Main Street. I'm available to show you the house tonight at 2, or we can do tomorrow at 3. What works best for you? The other realtors that you're competing with aren't going to do that. There's going to be a lot of small talk, a lot of conversation with these individuals that they don't want to hear. They just want an appointment. They want to go see the house, period. L stands for location. So once I have Cody committed to an appointment, I'll ask some questions about location. What is it? What's important to you about moving to East End, Toronto, Cody? That's fantastic. I'll have my MLS system up at the same time. I see that there's a house down the street that looks very similar to 123 Main Street. Would you like me to book us in to see that one also? And then I'll book a few showings because the odds are that the home he clicked on in the ad is not the one he's going to buy. Then the M stands for motivation. That is how we build rapport with people. Why are you looking to move? How's it going to benefit you? How's it going to benefit your family? How's it going to change your life on a scale of 1 to 10? How motivated are you to move to this area? I'll let them off the call. Before I let them off the call, always future pace. So Cody, I know life gets busy and sometimes we can't make our appointments. Can you commit to me that you're going to be there tomorrow at 2 to see the home? When Cody promises me yes, the odds of him actually showing up to that appointment are significantly higher. Anything you want to add there, Cody?
Honestly, I think you hit it right on the nail on the head. I think it just not giving up on leads is the biggest thing. Like, there's a lot of times where we have call bias or, you know, sync leads come in or internet leads come in and people are, you know, you might not want to call them, or you call them once, they don't answer, twice, they don't answer, 3 times, they don't answer. It takes a lot to follow up with these, especially internet leads or sometimes even cold leads. But you just have to keep putting it in and staying on top of it. And it's just a numbers game. It's a contact sport, right? Like Mike said, more contacts you have, more phone calls you make. Doesn't matter if that one person picks up. If I'm making 100-150 calls a day, somebody's going into my pipeline or somebody's going to be end up selling. Somebody's picking up that phone. They're going to hear me.
Yeah. So it's 100%. I think we booked a listing appointment off an internet lead today. That's just one I'm aware of. And we sold a house firm today.
Nice.
And in the same day, people told me internet leads don't work.
Yeah. I had a deal last year off a sync lead. Yeah, it works. It works.
Yeah. The only thing I'll add on this before we move on, lead generation should happen in the morning, because we know if we don't get it out of the way in the morning, we're not going to make it up later in the day. It's just not going to happen. Treat your lead generation appointment in the same manner in which you would treat an appointment with your clients. I always tell myself, Mike, if you're lead generating at 9, be there by 8:50. I wouldn't show up to a $10 million listing appointment 10 minutes late. I'm not going to show up to my prospecting appointment 10 minutes late. Also, do not answer the phone. Do not do paperwork. Do not get busy during your lead generation. I know this is tough at times because our clients call us and our knee-jerk reactions to pick up the phone and answer them right away. The second you answer that phone, what you're saying is that that client you have today is more important than your future clients. And I beg to differ. I would rather lose a client today and gain many clients in the future. And I have done that. The way I avoid losing a lot of clients is to set the expectation up front with them that I will not be available between the hours of 9 and noon. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, if you contact me between 9 and noon, I will not be able to answer the phone. I am busy prospecting for buyers for your home. In the event that I don't answer, it's normal. If you text me, I will read it. There are no fires in real estate that need to be put out immediately. But if you're the first client I have in my career that has an immediate fire, I will read your text and I will get back to you right away. In the event that it's not a fire, I will call you after noon.
Yeah.
If I called my, it's 8:20 right now. If I called my lawyer, they're not going to answer the phone, and that's okay. If I called my doctor, they're not going to answer the phone, and that's totally fine. Why do we have the right to claim that we're professionals, and yet we pick up the phone and let our clients dictate the way in which we live our lives?
I actually don't know anybody that I could actually call from like a professional service level that would actually pick up the phone right now.
Yeah.
Aside from a realtor.
Yeah. That's not desperate at all.
No. Like, I call my electrician, he's not answering. I call my plumber, he is not answering.
Okay. So next, scripting and role play. As I mentioned earlier, two levers we can pull in this business to get to our goals. One is activities. It's a contact sport. How many people do you need to speak to in order to do the transactions that you want to do and earn the income you want to earn? Secondly is skills. Skills are often overlooked. If we want to make as much money in 2023 that we made in 2022, but we don't want to work as many hours, the only way to make that happen is by building your skills. And the way we do that is through scripting and role-playing. My best advice when it comes to scripting, I think you would agree with this, Cody, is to get very good at uncovering motivation in people. We can't help someone that's not motivated. That might be a realtor on your team. I can't help someone that's not motivated. I can't help a client that's not motivated, and it's not my job.
Yeah.
My job is to uncover motivation. Once motivation is uncovered, my job is to ask for that piece of business at least 5 times in 5 different ways. So if I'm on the telephone and someone says, yes, I want to sell, we're looking to move in 3 months because we're going here and it's going to be awesome. Most people will say, that's fantastic. Very exciting. I'm available to meet with you to provide you with your home's value Tuesday at 5 p.m. No, I'm not interested right now. Too soon. I don't stop that. I will keep asking and asking and asking and asking. I have a lovely, 2 lovely boys at home. And they'll be sleeping when I get home. But if they weren't, there will be certain things they would want. Daddy, I just finished my dinner. I want dessert. I said, I want dessert. I want dessert. I want dessert. I want dessert. And they start screaming and screaming until he gets his way. Now, I don't scream at prospects, but I approach it with the same intensity my kid approaches me when he wants dessert. I will ask and ask and ask and ask gently and from different angles until the prospect does what I want. Jam my body through the door at all costs. Don't force the appointment. If someone isn't motivated, set them aside. I view our business or our job as realtors almost like we're sorting cards. You have your database, which is a big deck of cards, and we're sorting it into 2 separate piles. The motivated people that need our help today and the unmotivated. The motivated, we ask 5, 10, 15 times, follow up relentlessly until they let us in the door. The unmotivated, follow up until they're ready, because we can't make someone motivated. Next, didn't always do this, but I do it now. Pre-qualify all your appointments. We have a series of questions we go through to determine whether or not a prospect is qualified and ready to buy or sell in the next 60 to 90 days. This point in my life, if someone's not pre-qualified and not ready to transact in 60 to 90 days, I'm not going to go on that appointment. I'm going to let them know their home's value over the phone and follow up with them until they're ready to meet with me. The reason I don't go on unqualified appointments is because I know it takes 30 minutes to get to their house, an hour of time with them, 30 minutes to get back. That's 2 hours, maybe another 30 minutes to prep for the appointment, 2.5 hours. And as I mentioned to you earlier, it's a contact sport. I know I can make 30 contacts in an hour, 60 contacts, 75 contacts I've left on the table. Because I made the choice to go speak to someone that's not qualified. That's a waste of my time. Then presentations, buyer and seller presentations. What I found is that if you master those and you can deliver them with confidence in a way that makes sense to your prospects, you will not get a lot of objections. With that being said, we do focus heavily on overcoming objections. Anything you want to add there, Cody?
Yeah, I think the only thing, it's just total immersion in when it comes to scripting. Like, you can't script once a week and be able to overcome all these objections, or, you know, nail the listing presentation or booking the appointments and diving into motivation. When I was just starting out, it was scripting every day, at least once a day, and then writing out the scripts. Does it get to the point where you could just stop scripting? I don't believe so. I'm still scripting Monday to Thursday still, every morning for a half hour.
It's very simple. Like, once you learn the presentation, you know you're not going to get a lot of objections. And if you are going to get objections, they're always the same for the most part. I need to think about it. Commission, timeline, price. So you only need a few handles in your back pocket. You're in business.
And the best part is, guys, if you have motivation, motivation conquers all objections. for the most part.
So true. Right?
So what's most important to you? This or your motivation? Price or motivation? Commission or this, right? So yeah, it's practice, because then it gets to the point where you don't have to work so hard to get these appointments or these conversions. So scripting is the biggest, I think, real estate hack that nobody really talks about all that often. As important as it is, I don't think a lot of people really focus in on it. It's like, well, make contacts and this is how you get leads and, you know, post on Instagram and you're going to, you know, fly off the handle. It's like, well, you can, but what happens when the leads come in? What are you going to talk to people after that? Don't do what I did. Don't go on appointments for three and a half hours and don't even talk to them about real estate because you have no clue what you're talking about. That's a waste of time, like Mike just said. Pre-qualifying them, understanding the presentation, overcoming objections, getting the paperwork signed, that's how you get paid. So total immersion, always practice every single day until you get it down. The one thing I also, and I think Mike, you did this too, just to go over quick. At the very beginning, I would actually record myself. So I'd hop on a Zoom call like this, have the camera face me, I'd record my listing presentation or my injection hand. And then as cringy as it was, I would sit there and watch myself and do the replay again. Figure out where I said, oh, or where my body language was, or where I was stuttering on certain conversations and certain pieces of the script. And I go back and do it again until it was perfect and it's coming out fluidly.
So, and now, Cody, what? You convert at 80%, I would say?
Yeah, probably.
Say, I'm guessing here, I don't have the exact stat, but my best guess is that 80% of the appointments you close to listings when they're qualified, and then 80% of those listings are assigned at 6% commission.
The majority of them.
Where you take
that. It's very, very few and far between are not signed at 6. So, and it's all through scripting. Like at the end of the day, it's just all scripting. I had a listing appointment last year where she was so fixated on the commission. She was planning to use Purple Bricks. And within a 10-minute conversation, I had her going from, no, I'll never hire you because your commission is way too high, to how is Purple Bricks even in place? And why does no other realtor use the strategy like you do? I'm not doing anything magical. It's just scripts that have been given in place to us. I didn't make them. I'm just using what has been tried and true. You guys can do the exact same thing and be very successful in it. All through scripted.
This is something I think we don't really talk about all that much in the business. We talk about negotiating with our clients and what to say to our clients in certain situations, but we don't really talk about the negotiation process with realtors. I'm a big believer, this might be a little extreme, agent relationships are more important than client relationships. Agent relationships are of equal importance to client relationships. Our job is to work with the agent on the other side, build rapport, close the sale, not work against them. If I'm on the listing side or the buy side and Cody's on the other side, in my head, I'm thinking, what do I need to say to Cody so he feels as though I'm on his team? I'm going to support him through the whole process and get the transaction done. So Cody, in terms of my work ethic tonight, I'm all in, 100%. I'm going to do absolutely everything I can to get this deal done. My clients are fantastic. It's going to be hard work for me. How are you feeling?
I feel great. I feel like we're friends.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can tell you that's my house, Cody. I love that listing, and I'm going to do everything I can to secure it for my buyers, and I know they're really motivated. If you need to come back to me for any reason, let me know, and I'll improve my offer. I'm going to be the guy that wins tonight. That could be money. You may not like the conditions. You may not like, it could be anything in my offer. Come back and give me another opportunity. Can you make that commitment to me?
Yes, I can.
you always get the call back. That's the kind of person you want to work with. I get these people that show up to my listings and the conversation is vastly different. You'll have a couple offers and one of the buyer agents is telling me, we don't need to buy this house. There's three across the street. My client likes those ones. If the price isn't right here, we're going to go, get the hell out of here. I'm going to sell my product to someone that wants to buy it, not to that person. If there's two agents, I'm going to sell it to the person that wants to buy my product, period. Knowing that I'm going to be the person when I'm on the buy side that shows interest in the product. When I'm buying or when I'm representing a buyer, say Cody's a listing agent, through the process, say that from the time we submit the offer to the point when it's accepted, I'll call him anywhere from 10 to 30 times until I get what I want. None of this emailing the offer, never talking to the listing agent again. It's, hey, Cody, we got an offer coming. Send it in. Hey, Cody, we just submitted the offer. How's it look? Can you work with it? Let me present it to my clients. Hey, Cody, you present it to your clients yet? Were they happy with it? Anything we can do to improve? Yeah, we need more money. Okay, how much more money, Cody? What's going to get it done? Okay, let me talk to my clients. Cody, my clients can't do that, but they can do this. Does that work for you? Can you bring it back to your clients? Cody, I mentioned you earlier. This is my house tonight. I'm at a 10 out of 10. I'm going to get this thing done. How are you feeling? Anything I can do to make your life easier? And I'll just hammer it and hammer it and hammer it. I know no one else is doing that. My job is not to lose in competition because it's a waste of my time. I do the same thing through setting expectations with my clients and building a great relationship with the realtor on the other side of the transaction. Same thing to avoid having deals fall apart. I am not going to submit an offer on Cody's house, tie it up, go through the process and time of doing a home inspection to let the deal fall apart. If that happens to me, in my mind, it's unacceptable. I'm going to be very hard on myself. The conversation I have in my head is like this. So let me get this straight, Mike. You spent 5 hours negotiating that contract. You booked your home inspector in. You went to the home inspection, spent 3 hours at 5, 6, 7, 8. You got two little boys at home that you love to death, and you just wasted 8 hours of your time. Fantastic. And you have an awesome team here, too, that you could have poured into for 8 hours, but you chose to not get the deal done. That's on you, buddy. I take my time very seriously. Sound kind of neurotic.
What's that?
But I sound kind of neurotic and weird.
It's true. I mean, it really works. Even in this market, like even when you're not up against competition, you're still going to the seller, right? So you let me know where I need to be to get this deal done. You let me know where the sellers have to be. Like maybe we can flex on the closing date or the conditions or the deposit or anything like that, right? Like thinking really outside the box, and you're not going against each other in this real estate transaction. You're there together to make a deal come together. So Mike's right. Like I've picked up the phone, especially in multiple offer competitions. Hey, not where I need to be, but how do I make your life as easy as possible to get this deal done for you? You tell me what I need to do and I'll do my best to get it done. Just promise me you give me a chance to come back and we'll make it easier for you. Okay, I need to come up in price. Okay, well, let me go back to my clients and see what I can do. I need to get rid of one of those conditions. Okay, awesome. Let me see what I can do. It puts you into the opportunity that you can go back and you have another shot at the table. You don't contact that. I've had people bring me offers. They've never even called me. I just get an email and all of a sudden there's an offer in my email. And I'm like, who is this person? I have to go through the showings and call them and be like, oh, thanks for the offer. Like, never talked to them a day in my life. And it makes my job a lot harder as a listing agent to go to the table. And my sellers are like, well, who walked through? And I'm like, I have no idea. I talked to this agent about 5 minutes before I walked through the door. Right. It makes the listing agent's job a lot harder. So it's very important what Mike is saying, and it works.
Listings all day, every day. The model I follow is leads. So focus on sourcing leads, listings, then find leverage once you're busy with listings. The reason I like listings, I can go meet a total stranger or someone that already knows, likes, and trusts me. I can meet them for an hour, sign paperwork, list their home, and get it sold. Versus buyers, I know I've done this before. I assume some of you have done this before. Sometimes it turns into show and tell. You'll go show someone 50 homes and hopefully they buy something. In some situations, they don't buy something. I don't view that as a good use of my time. You set the commission. The majority of our listings are signed at 6%. You attract buyers through listings. You can buy them yourself. If you like the listing and you're looking to build out a rental portfolio, you can buy them yourself. And Gary Keller says leads, listings, leverage. He's got the largest real estate team in the world. I choose to listen to him. Simple as that. With that being said, when I was churning out all those transactions, I did work with some buyers. I was about 60% sellers, 40% buyers, but I had very strict criteria about who I would work with. So I would work with the buyer if I had already sold their home and I knew they were going to go homeless if they didn't buy something. That's a motivated buyer, and I love those people.
Are you going to be homeless?
I would work with a buyer if they showed up at my listing and said, Mike, I want to buy this house. Will you write up the offer for me? Very efficient. I love that.
That's the easiest two deals you'll ever get.
Yeah. So my in those 52 ends, I don't know, I'd say 10 of those homes were double ended. So 20 ends.
20 deals right there for... Yeah. 10 deals.
Like sell 10 one listings. House, get paid twice. I like that.
That is the best use of your time.
Yeah. And then Cody's passion, something I enjoy doing also, I would work with investors. So I use the buy, renovate, refinance method. I use that personally to build my own portfolio. And I learned through working with clients that wanted to do that. What I found was that it was very much numbers-based. The client would come in and say, I want a house with three units in this neighborhood. If it's a buy, renovate, refinance, it would be in rough condition. Sometimes you get people that want turnkey. They want a specific amount of cash flow every single month. And I would ask them. I meet people like you all the time that say you want this, 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 and this. And my experience is at times I find my clients this, 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 and this. And when I show them the house, they don't submit an offer, which I don't understand because the home checks all their boxes. So can you commit to me if we find that house, the cash flow is at $500 a month, it's turnkey, it's in this neighborhood, it offers the three units you want, you will submit an offer right away. Oh, and by the way, to find that type of product for my investors, normally it takes me about 3 weeks. That's my way of telling them I'm not going to show you 50 homes. I'm going to find the house, take you to it, and you're going to buy it. And if they don't agree to that, I just don't work with them. Now, next thing is team versus non-team. I can't really comment on what it's like to be on your own. I've never been on my own. Very easy for me to come up with some of the benefits of being on a team. It was more challenging to come up with the benefits of not being on a team. Not that I have anything against solo agents. I've just never lived that life. So I don't really know. But team, my experience, you get proximity. You are the average of the people you spend your time with. I got in the business with two guys. One had done, I think, 50 transactions his first year. The other person I was spending all my time with did 51. No surprise, I did 52. I learned from people that had already done it. Immersion. You're in the world of people that are transacting every day. I always give this example. I only speak one language, but if I wanted to learn French, for instance, I would have a couple options. I could go to France and live there, and I'd be forced to learn French. I imagine, I like to think I would learn it pretty quick. I don't know. option two, I could buy one of those little Rosetta Stone programs and learn it that way. My guess is option two would take me a lot longer. I think starting on your own is the equivalent of buying Rosetta Stone. A team will offer you full immersion. That's how I was able to learn so quickly. One other thing I think about regularly, I did 50 plus ends my first year. The average realtor does about six. So I did 8.5 times what the average realtor does in that first year, which means I got 8.5 times the experience in 1 year.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's a great way to look at it.
Well, you can look at you. The average realtor does six into 30, five, you just got 5 years experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I find amazing, I'm not the smartest tool in the shed. I went to school, studied business in my undergrad, then went back to school, studied business, my master's. I don't know exactly what I paid for those two degrees, but I paid to learn about business. A lot of people I meet with, they immediately talk about splits. What's a split? What's a split? What's a split? What's a split? And a lot of people I meet with just graduated from university where they paid 30 grand, 40 grand, 50 grand, 100 grand to go to school. My mindset was a little bit different. I can go get an education from someone who is where I want to be and make 100 grand my first year or 200. Like, that's the best deal ever. And if you don't like the team, just take the information. And when you're done with, when you think you've outgrown the team, go do it on your own.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I came in and kind of like you too, I never even asked about the splits or honestly anything when I sat down. And I mean, when it comes down to it, would I have gotten the 5 years of experience or done all the deals that I did on my own? No, hands down, I wouldn't have. To be able to come into a team and have those people around you and someone like Mike, who's literally going to sit there and say, this is how I did these 50 plus transactions, right? If I didn't have that and I just got my real estate license and I didn't even know what I was going to do. I didn't even know how this whole industry worked. I was very like newborn deer. I didn't even know how to walk. Mike had to tell me like this, you know, you make calls, you scripts. These are the scripts you use. These are the opportunities that you'll get when you do this. And it's just all building blocks on top of that, right? It's like, you can't go be a doctor and just toss you into the operating room by yourself. It's training and process and just being around people who've done it before. It's just such a huge value. It's shifting your mindset from, well, you know, if the splits are this, this is how much money I'm going to give them. It doesn't work like that, right? Like, I would not have done, I don't even know if I would have did one deal by myself. I don't think I would have. I can almost guarantee it because I had no clue what I was doing. So there's such a huge
recently at, like, weak agents think about split, strong agents think about net, rockstar agents think about net worth. And I'm not trying to sell you guys on teams at all. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But I went to work for a man that not only sold a lot of real estate, he also bought a lot of real estate. So that's where the value has been for me. I've learned how to sell a lot of homes. I'm fortunate that he's created an opportunity for me that has allowed me to advance. And I bought quite a bit of real estate. I think in the last 5 years, me and my wife have bought 15 homes. That wouldn't happen without proximity.
100%.
Individual agents, the benefits, obviously you get to keep all your commission. If you choose, you get to sleep in, and there's no one like me to hold you accountable, which at times is probably pretty nice. And the three Fs, fun, financial, freedom. That's why we get in this business. We want to be entrepreneurs. We want to have a good time and make lots of money. Unfortunately, financial doesn't come if we focus on fun and freedom first. My job with my group is to hold people accountable to that first F, financial. Because I know if we all hit our financial goals, it leads to the ultimate freedom. I'll go through this really quick. So it's something we use. I'm more than happy to share it with you. So I'll use Cody as an example. He joins our team. First thing we talk about is why. Why are you in this business? What do you want to accomplish? We actually go through that during the interview process with people. Once we figure out what someone's looking to accomplish, we work backwards. Cody, how much money do you need to make next year in order to do whatever it is you want to do? Once I figure out the money, not the gross, not the ego number, realtors love to say, I made 500 grand last year when the profit margin's at 2%. They've actually kept nothing. I don't care about gross. I care what's in my pocket at the end of the year after I've paid the tax man. So we go over that number. So say Cody says, I want to make 100 grand. Seems like that's the number everyone says. That's what I said. I want to make 100 grand my first year. We have a spreadsheet. We'll put that in. And I track all of our conversions. So I know our new agent conversions over the last few years. Based on those conversions, it will spit out an appointment number. So Cody, for you to make 100 grand, you need to go on 2 appointments a week. I know the activity numbers based on conversions from the last 3 or so years to say, Cody, if you want to go on this number of appointments, this is how many people you need to speak to. From there, we built out a roadmap. Now, goals, if they're just internal, are useless. If I say in my head, I want to make 100 grand, but I keep it in my head, there's no accountability. If I say to all 27 of you guys on this call, guys, in 2023, I'm going to make 100K. Watch me do it. That's accountability. So in our team, what we do, we track our numbers every single week. So we track GCI, transactions needed to hit that GCI. We track buyers and listings signed. We track appointments. And we track contacts. So if Cody wants to make 100 grand in 2023, so I think we're approximately 6% through the year. So 100 grand, and this is in a tracker. I don't calculate this for everyone on my phone like I'm doing right now. But Cody should be approximately $6,000. So we have a spreadsheet that will show, say Cody's done $7,000. One line item will show the 7,000 and will show the target where he should be at this point in the year to be on track. And then there'll be a percentage. Cody is 107% to his goal. And we do that for, like I said, GCI, deals, buyer's listing signed, appointments, contacts. So we all know where we are at every single moment of the year. That's shared on a board in our office. Numbers don't tell the whole story, but they tell 95% of it, in my opinion. And I want to share those numbers. I don't want to reprimand Cody when he's not doing his shit. I'll just put it up on a board in the office. I'll have a meeting every single Monday. I'll talk about it. I'll share it. I send an email on Wednesday. And it's Cody and every single other person on the team. The reason I do that is because I believe accountability is the highest form of love. I love the man to death. He deserves to know where he's at. It's my job to provide him with that information. Whether or not he acts on it is on him. As I mentioned, I can't create motivation. I can't make him motivated. It's his choice whether or not he puts in the work. If he doesn't put in the work, all of his peers are going to know about it. Now, there's this thing I always think about, I cannot make an agent productive. I can only make myself productive, but that's not my job. My job is to create an environment that facilitates productivity, and the agent joins us and chooses to be productive. That's fantastic. I'll pour my everything into them. They join us and choose not to be productive. We either train them up or out and get rid of them. Or that's harsh. Get out of business with them.
I was going to say that was a little mean.
That's harsh.
It's not what he means. You move on.
That being said, our retention is very high. We haven't gotten out of business with anyone for quite some time. Anything you want to add, Cody?
No, I think just to kind of wrap everything up in a nutshell, I mean, if you guys have any takeaways or take anything away tonight, just really protect yourself, protect your mindset, take care of yourself first, and build your business on top of that. Aside from that, you know, you have to talk to people. You have to pick up the phone. You have to do what other people are not willing to do. I did not want to sit in the office and cold call for 8, 10, 12 hours a day. I would much rather do that than not be financially free down the road. I'd rather have so much pain now than have it down the road and continue to work. I was working years ago at this retail store, and I was putting in hours and hours and hours. And I remember the store manager walked up to me and he was like, you know, what you're doing now is going to set you up for the rest of your life. He's like, if you continue to have this mindset, work this hard while you're young and you can do it, you might as well do it now compared to when you're 50, 60, 70 years old and you have to work because you never put in the time yet. So Mike always told me at the very beginning, when do you want to have your first year in real estate? Do you want to have it now? Do you want to have it in your second year, your fifth year, your 10th year, or never? Because when you build out that pipeline and you grind it out, yes, it's painful, but I promise you, if you do the contacts that Mike and I talked about today, and you do the scripting, and you take care of yourself, and you wake up at 5 a.m. and push yourself to those extremes that nobody else will do, you're going to have extreme results. Unlike the other 80% of agents that don't stay in this business for more than 2 years, you're going to thrive being in the other 20%. It's a very simple industry or very simple business to build. You don't have to go out and spend $1 million to get a warehouse and product and sales and marketing. You literally just need to get your real estate license and pick up the phone, script practice, and go on. This is by far the most lucrative, easiest business to get into. But if you don't want to put in the hard work to get to the extreme, it's not going to happen. The phone is not going to ring. And that's why so many people get into this industry. So
I love that. And remember, grow or die, the only difference between you and the person you want to become are the books you read, the people you hang out with. I highly recommend you hang out with Cody. Highly talented, also an amazing person, and the podcast you listen to. So here are three of them. I told you I wouldn't sell you anything. These are my favorite podcasts in the world, especially Cody's and Sandy's, actually. Sandy's is amazing. That podcast started all of this. That breakthrough real estate investing podcast, I wouldn't be here. That's how I met him.
Yeah, that podcast actually has changed my life from the investing side, from everything, actually. So
we love you, Sandy. It's very important, I think, when there are people through our careers that have helped us, and we shout them out, give them the recognition they deserve. You know, guys, if anyone's heard me speak, I never do anything like this without crediting Sandy, Marianne Gillespie. They put so much time into me. I'm here because of them. The least I can do is shout them out and tell them how much they've impacted me.
That's a very good point, actually. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Sandy. I wouldn't be on this call if it wasn't for Mike and Marianne Gillespie too. And I mean, I owe everything that I've done in the last year, 2 years to those people. But I also want to give a round of applause for everybody that came out tonight, and especially all of you who stayed to the very end. Hopefully you got a ton of value from this. But I want to give you guys a round of applause because honestly, I know it's a Thursday night. It's 9 o'clock. We're pushing on 9 o'clock. Mike and I did not realize we were going to go into 2 hours, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I hope you guys can take at least some of these tidbits of information and apply it. And the world is yours. Just got to pick up the phone.
I love it. Pick up the phone and start dialing.
Just dial.
And come visit us on February 13th at 9 a.m. We'd love to see you.
Yes. Yes. Come visit us. Open house. Free coffee. It's on Mike. Mike's actually paying for it. So why not come? And I mean, I'm speaking for Mike probably, but if you guys ever want to reach out and you have any questions about anything, feel free to reach out to us. Any scripts, questions, how we did it. I don't know. And for me, I'm an open book. I'll sit down and have coffee with anybody and tell you exactly how I did what I did. Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay, I guess we're out of here. I'm your friend. I'm not your competition. I'm here to help you. If there's anything I can do to help you sell more homes, give me a shout. You can scan this little thing here, or you can give me a call at 226-792-6385. I love realtors. I would love to help you.
Awesome. Well, Mike, thanks for having me on. And thanks, everyone, for joining.
Adios.
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm